Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Of course. Thank you, Dan, for inviting me. I live in Miami and I'm an Argentinian. I came from Argentina almost a year and a half ago. I arrived to Miami. I'm the CEO and co-founder of a CPG product here in the U.S. that we manufacture in Chicago. We essentially do frozen raspberries and we cover them with chocolate, which is super simple, but it's hyper delicious. Everybody's loving it. So we have a couple of products that we are putting out there in the U.S. market for you guys to go and grab some.
Awesome. So did you move to Miami to start this business? Or I guess, like, what gave you this idea?
Yeah, that's a good question. I knew that the U.S., there was a gap in the right timing for me to bring this product over. So I started picking up the phone from Argentina, trying to connect with people from the chocolate industry and here in the U.S. And one of those phone calls ended up with my actual investors, who are the founders of Talenti Gelato. It's a very well-known ice cream here in the U.S. that is in a transparent cup. Those guys already sold their company a couple of years ago and now are working as investors or they do different projects in their spare time. And when I pitched the idea to them, they really liked it. They knew the potential of this product and they gave me a couple of bucks between them and other investors to come over and see how it goes. Fortunately, after 6 months of arriving to Miami, we had a finished product. I think I came over with my partner, Marcos de la Pia, and we came over together and we first were living in Airbnbs. Then we finally rented an apartment together. And we were a bit fortunate, luck, but also I think we were very committed with our mission of having a great product here available and with the best standards. That's what we end up achieving after 6 months of arriving. And from then on, we convinced other investors to chip in some investment in our project and allow us to keep on growing and keep on pushing forward what we're doing right now.
Awesome. So what's your background? Like, did you have a company in Argentina before? I guess, like, how did you get the investment from this group?
Absolutely. Yeah. My background, I'm an engineer, industrial engineer. I finished my studies in 2018. So what I did after that, I worked in the consulting world. With a company in Argentina that is funded by ex-McKinsey guys. It was cool, I think, of extending my education from the academic world to the professional world, but it was still education for me. And then from there, I went into one of the largest tech company of the world. It's actually the largest of Latin America, but it's called Mercado Libre. So I was still, it was in the middle of the pandemic, so I was still trying to learn more than anything. But I got to a point that I couldn't resist anymore my temptation to go and be an entrepreneur. I know it's very romanticized right now, that world of being an entrepreneur, and it's people are writing books about it, but I really felt the need in my guts. And that's how I met first in Argentina. I met a company builder that was pairing biotech people from the academic world with people in the business world. So that's where they got me and paired me with them. They actually injected us some money and see how it goes. But we had a false launch. There were some problems internally with the team. And myself, I decided to jump off the boat, which was a very tough decision, but important decision to make. And I'm really grateful I did it now. And I offered the investor the money back. And so that, whole story that lasted, a little bit under a year, ended up positioning me in a good way in the investors world in Argentina. So people knew that I had a great energy, but at the same time, I had a lot of integrity, willing to give back the money. So I started different conversations. And from then on, the conversations never pulled me somewhere else, but actually opened doors, and I needed to go by that door. So I think that thanks to, you know, exposing myself, but at the same time pushing forward, I ended up getting what I needed to do what I think I wanted to do. So
that's
that
amazing.
way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. So I'm curious more about your product, right? It's like you mentioned, it's like a frozen product, right? It's like some chocolate raspberry. So in terms of your strategy, obviously selling direct to consumers is very challenging in the frozen space. So are you more focused on retail, specialty retail, food service? Like, what is your strategy? And I guess, like, where are you being sold right now?
Yeah, absolutely. When we designed, we actually like designed what project to start. And this one had a lot of checks, but there was one check that that wasn't completed. So it's like an imperfect project in some kind of way. But I think every project is an imperfect project. That is a frozen product, as you mentioned. So the frozen products end up being very complicated to ship directly to consumer because the shipping is so expensive that nobody wants to buy something that the shipping is more expensive than the product. So, but the good thing is that the retail world here in the US is super strong, super large. There's a lot going on around it that you can get very well educated. There's a community of startups called Startup CPG here that gives you a hand if you're launching your company. I really need to mention them because they're great. And and also with a lot of mentorship, what we ended up doing, my partner also was working for a company that in the CPG world here in the US. So between all of that knowledge, we ended up laying out like a path of how to get from small retailers to medium large, to large, to extra large. So right now we already into medium and turning into medium large retailers. And the idea is to perform well in every group of retailers and for to justify your growth into the next group, right? So, and the way to start is, you know, you need to pick up the phone, pick up your emails, go out, go to shows. Here at the show, I'm in New York right now. The Fancy Food Show is a show in the CPG world that just finished. It's amazing. You go out there and you meet a lot of people. You're probably not gonna forget 99% of them, but the 1% that you keep in touch with end up making the difference. So, but it's going out there, expose yourself, put the right energy and put the right thinking. The last thing I want to say about it is that we had some things that at the present moment seemed like problematic or like a miss from our side, but ended up doing great for us. It's not like the cliche way of saying this, but actually we were so energetic about launching our project, that pushing it forward constantly, that now looking back and also looking forward, because I'm still that way, I know that sometimes taking a little bit extra time on things end up, you know, really playing in your favor. It's actually sometimes it's what you really need is some time, and there's no way around it. So no matter how energy you're putting into something, how anxious you are about something, sometimes you need to consider time as a key factor, you know, for making, in our case, a great product, and in our case, a great launch, partnering with the right people. So we, thanks for, you know, putting time into it, not only effort, we ended up having much better results.
Awesome. So in terms of your retailers, is it more like a regional play? Are you focusing on Miami first or a certain part of the country? I guess, like, where can people typically find your products? I'm in Texas.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just curious
absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are very happy to launch right now with GoPuff. GoPuff is a delivery app that delivers to your place under 15 minutes. And we cover it in that way a lot of different regions. So that's the best accessible way to go find us. We also do Dash Marts with DoorDash. They also cover the central to west area. The GoPuff is more the east side. And now we are in different retailers. We even launched with one that then end up going to bankruptcy. So we then lost a client, but we are in retailers. So the strategy of growing into retailers is the following for us. Is as long as we have distribution and we want to go there. But then what you really need to be taking, we're still in the process of trying to understand what's our best region to put all of our energy and money into it to grow the brand. So that wouldn't be justified if you're a small brand to do nationwide marketing investments, because you're probably going to burn out. But we are right now, you know, with profitable margins growing into different areas. So in that way, nobody is hiring us. And when the right moment comes, I think we're going to be taking a decision on where it would be our targeted area to really create the best brand loyal consumers in a specific area. So we're in the right now. We're seeing that, but we are manufacturing in Chicago. We are of course selling there in Fresh Time. It's a local retailer there. Then we also are in New York, We are in West Side Market in New York City. All of these areas also have Copaf, so you can also have it delivered. Then we have in the West Coast, we are in Bristol Farms in LA, then Nugget Market more in the San Francisco area. In Texas, right now, we are mostly with Dashmart, but we were with this Foxtrot, it's called.
Yeah, I know Foxtrot. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were with Foxtrot that went to buy. But fortunately, what we are also in a position right now that being into these retailers got us distribution, and having distribution now in these areas will allow us to grow into new retailers. So we already awesome. Played the game of the chicken versus the egg, and we have already the distribution to push everything forward.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? Do you want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technology like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Do you guys do like a lot of like in-store tasting? I think it's like, how do you get people to actually try your products?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, our product is very easy to understand. So people are very willing to try it. Raspberries with chocolate is super easy, and it's a bite-sized. Everybody knows what it is. And once you try it, it is really an explosion of flavor. And it's a very interesting experience. People love it, almost all of them. So we are really being strategic on doing in-store demos and samplings. Because we know that the conversion rate of people trying it and end up buying it is very effective. Then also we're doing different promotions with GoPuff. So in that way, people can, you know, connect with us in social media advertising and have the product delivered in under 15 minutes. That connection is very special also, because if you are doing advertising and you're suggesting that the viewer to go to a store that is 30 minutes away, maybe they will never will. But if you have the ability to deliver the product in under 50 minutes, that makes a huge difference. So that's another way of getting our product out there and people to know us. Yeah. And then we're trying to partner, you know, with the right influencers, micro influencers. We really don't want to spend money, you know, and paying stupid amounts that, as you may heard of before in other stories, we are really conscious on how much are we spending. So we try to partner the right way. We are now diving deep into what's revenue sharing models with influencers. That way, you know, they're going to be paid the amount it corresponds to the volume they brought to us. So we're diving deep into that. And then what else? So yeah, that's mostly it. And then we do very strong with the talented guys that are really mentoring us. We do very strong promotional plans with every store we get into. And they are very well thought out. Like, for example, the buy one, get one, what's the discount you're going to be doing? When are you going to be doing it? What's the total amount you're going to be doing? And also not to get used to the consumer that to buy your product always with a discount. So you need to do it like with the right spacing in between discounts. So we are working on that, and we are very confident we're having a great promotional calendar for, you know, retailers to want to work with us. And so, yeah, that's the way we're pushing forward, you know, our brand.
Awesome. What would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Before I started this company, I learned a lot with my mistakes. That's what happens to most of the people. So my biggest mistakes were with the company I founded before this one. What I really noticed is that someone who's positive and with energy and with really wanting to go out there, what they can really, you know, step over with is and commit the biggest mistake is when you have a lot of wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is something magical and excellent, and you can really use it in your favor. But sometimes it will really make you go over different red flags. So that's where wishful thinking is something you don't want when you're stepping over red flags, because red flags are colored red. There's no way around it. If they're red, it's because they're red. So you better, you know, observe that, point it out, you know, and do an objective analysis on the situation. And when red flags are red, then the sad thing is that maybe you're super optimistic about everything, but, you know, it's doomed, or the problem is really big because of the color of the flag. So wishful thinking is probably my biggest threat right now, and still is. So that's something I really incorporate right now in what I do. And So yeah, and I'm
Are you able to share like what specifically happened? Maybe
yeah.
like on more detail, yeah.
Yeah, I partnered with someone with a group of people that there were three different persons, and I really liked them, like in their academic area. They were from the biotech world, and they had a great idea, great concept. And so I really said, hey, this is the thing I want to do right now. I want to go with them, and I love this. Let's do it. But once you start working together with someone and you're super optimistic on the project, then you're gonna be noticing. No, this didn't happen to me in my actual project, but happened in the one before. Yeah, I started noticing like different things, attitudes. You know, the attitude towards money. You know, when you get you receive investments from investors, what happens is that you after a first investment, you have a bank account that first says the sign of money with a zero on it, and then it turns out into a very large number that many people, maybe including me, are not used to it. So the psychology around money is very particular that you may think you know someone, but you really know them. You maybe need even more things than knowing how they work with money. But money is one very important aspect on how people are psych with the you know around it. So when we got money injected, I started in attitudes that were not suitable for a partnership, and I thought they were gonna really bring us down as a company. But at first, I didn't want to admit it to myself, mostly. But once you step over the same stone a couple of times, you say, okay, I cannot foolish myself any longer. I need to admit that this is a problem. Of course, we had a lot of conversations around it. But the ultimate decision, as I mentioned, was to break paths and do my continue on my own. I left the project, I left my equity, I gave back the money, I gave back everything, and I decided to start another journey. But yeah, so psychology around money with partners is something you really want to be careful with, super careful. And with my actual partners right now, we are the three of us that we are full time in the project, and we are exactly the same with money, or almost exactly the same. And it's so peaceful and it's a peace of mind that you really want to have that in a project. If not, you're going to be training yourself, the energy from yourself, and you're going to be uncompetitive and won't be able to focus on what really matters. So, being loose with money is something very special and very important. So I really value that now.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Good question. So as I mentioned, we have right now, we already are going over the game of the chicken and egg with distribution. So having distribution now is super promising for us. And we have a great product. I'm really confident about that, and I have no doubt around that. So it's only a matter of me delivering with my team on what's going to be, pushing the product forward, putting it in front of buyers of the different retailers, different accounts, growing to accounts. So I think next year we're gonna be having a revenue probably 10x the one we have now, because we're small. It's not difficult to multiply that many times. And have a couple of accounts, one or two accounts that are big enough for a great percentage of the country to get to know our product.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website, social media, I guess best ways to get in contact?
Absolutely, yeah. So our product is called Baris, Baris, as I mentioned before, frozen raspberries with chocolate. Our Instagram account is called Everybaris. So instead of everybody's, Everybaris. And our web page is also everybaris.com. And there, if you go into our web page, you'll find the contact email. So I don't need to spell it right now, but you can find a way to contact me or my team. And following us on Instagram would be fun, because as I'm telling you, I expect a 10x growth for the next 12 months. So seeing that in first hand is always fun, right? So yeah, that's the best way.
Awesome. Well, Luca, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you to you, Tam, and for insisting me in coming the podcast. It was super fun. It was great meeting you, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Bye bye.